Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Very happy to be here with you on this Monday afternoon, at least it's Monday afternoon where we are, Monday evening where our guest Tom Nash is this hour. Second hour, Amy Hamilton's going to be here. Lots of great stuff to discuss. We're going to discuss with Amy Hamilton, who's really an expert on issues related to the sexual revolution, family life, and the Catholic Church, the Catholic faith, all that. And so we're going to talk about the sexual revolution at 60. Where it's 60 years old today. Well, not today. You know, it's 60 years old this decade. In one way of looking at it, in any case. So it's been, you know, when you think about that, there's been 60 years since this sexual revolution really began to bite into culture. We'll talk about it. It's anniversary. We'll take your questions about anything having to do with that. This hour, we're going to talk about confession. On Monday mornings here at Catholic Answers, we have what's called the convocation, and somebody gives a talk, usually goes between 5 and 10 minutes, except that there are a few exceptions where it goes over or under. I'm not going to name them, but you could probably guess who they are. And Tom Nash recently gave the convocation, and it was on the sacrament of confession. And it's a great way to start the week when you have these wonderful thinkers and speakers and just all-around great people who give you these convocations. So first of all, Tom Nash, theologian, media personality, author, thank you so much for being here with us.
Great to be here with you and my fellow staff members at Catholic Answers and the Catholic Answers audience across the world.
Was that the first convocation you've given, or have you given one before? I can't remember.
No, I gave some earlier one. Remember, Can I Have Witness was one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That was one. Yeah. And then there was one other before that, I think around beginning of July.
Everybody loved the one you did on confession. And so we thought we'd ask you a simple question. By the way, if you have questions about confession you want to ask Tom, we'll try to get you on. Whether you've made a confession or not, whether you're Catholic or not, your questions about confession are welcome. 888-318-7884. Sometimes also called the sacrament of reconciliation. I always kind of not always, but a lot of times the modern obsession with getting the exact perfect label for everything, I find it kind of tiresome. So it's fine. To me, call it confession, reconciliation. Just don't call it late for dinner. 888-318-7884. So the question we want to start with, what we want to ask Tom is, what is the point of confession? What is the point of the Catholic sacrament of confession?
Well, we live in a fallen world, going back to the original sin. And even though Jesus has come and indeed reconciled us through his one perfect sacrifice of Calvary, we have to appropriate that on an ongoing basis. Just as we in our relationships, a husband and a wife, do not have, if there's difficulties, he didn't say, hey, you know, I'm forgiven. No, he has to say, I'm sorry, honey, to her. And he might have to say it a number of times, even in one day. But the point is, we are seeking, when Jesus says, be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect, that's in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verses 43-48. It's a process. It's an ongoing reality. And so we need to appropriate that great gift of forgiveness. It's not a once for all, and you know, I can do what I want afterwards. Once saved, always saved is clearly not biblical, because as we see quite clearly in the Lord's Prayer, he doesn't say, hey, you've been forgiven and you're all set. Forgive my sins, you know, forgive your trespasses, those who forgive me. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, earth is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So we see that there, that it is a reality, because if you do not forgive, men's sins, their trespasses, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. So that right there shows you that it's not necessary. It's not once saved, always saved. But here's the thing, we can talk about confession, that we are called to forgive each other's sins. It says very clearly that in the Lord's Prayer, that I am to forgive those who trespass against me. I am bound to forgive anybody who commits a sin. And that person as well has that power. But, for example, neither you or I have the power to forgive either one of our sins generally. Jesus only gives that power to particular people, his apostles and their successors. And if they needed it in the first generation when Jesus was still there and then ascended, how much more would we need it 2,000 years later? And he says, as the Father has sent me, I send you. He says this to the apostles in the upper room after he rose from the dead and he goes to see them. And how did the Father send how did the Father send Jesus? Well, we know that from the Great Commission. He says, all authority has been given on heaven and earth has been given to me. And so, and therefore, he gives them the commission. So how has the Father sent him? With all authority. So what does Jesus do as his emissaries, as his ambassadors? He gives that power to forgive all sins. It's an example of the binding and loosing. So we see that only some people, because if you forgive men's sins, they are forgiven. If you retain men's sins, they are retained. So only a select relative few, not everybody in general, has the power to forgive sins. And he doesn't say, hey, just pray to me and I'll forgive you. He gives, there is this, you know, yes, Jesus is the one mediator between the Father in terms of reconciling us. But Jesus chooses his apostles very quite clearly here that you are going to be my ministers. So because when people go to confession, they have to think about it and they have to be accountable to a priest that they're confessing to, as opposed to, okay, God, yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, back to my life and whatever I'm doing, even though I'm not so repentant. He has set up the sacrament of confession. And when Jesus sets it up, he then gives the power. It is he who forgives through the ministry of priests. And so we need to take advantage of it. And what I talked about in the convocation, I'd like to reaffirm here. And I wrote an article earlier this year called How to Go to Confession, and it's on our website, Catholic.com. It's a great primer on this, and it shows the biblical base as well as how to go about it, to go to confession, prepare for confession, etc., and not to be alienated by if you had one bad experience from a confession. Remember that you are encountering Jesus first and foremost when you go to confession. So in summary, Jesus has set this up. We go to confession because he's given this opportunity to intimately encounter him through the ministry of his priests. And as a result of that, we not only have our sins forgiven, but we also have graces to go forth and to live holy lives.
Again, the number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I think sometimes the argument against confession, Tom, is that, look, God is perfectly capable of forgiving sins. And I feel like the church's response is something like, yes, but this is the way he chose to do it. Like he could have saved you by some other way than hanging on a cross, but that's the way he chose to do it. So you can't say
exactly. And so this is the Bible based, Jesus focused way. This isn't the Catholic Church coming up with this. This is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And in some ways, there's a psychological benefit. I've known of psychologists who've talked to priests and say, boy, you know what? You guys, in some ways, take away our business, or you help us actually, because the whole point of having people to confess and to recognize wrongdoing helps us, you know, that reality of sin and the reality of wrongdoing, the reality of accountability, it helps. You know, the joke is that it takes business away, but in a better sense, it helps their patients be more accountable, especially if they're Catholic, or even if they're not Catholic. The reality of confession, the sacrament, and the pervasiveness of the church is a good reality, a good point that's saying that, hey, this is what Jesus has established. And we all do it. Otherwise, we confess to I'm sorry, I did something wrong, honey, or whatever the case may be. So we recognize our need to repent to each other, but this is how Jesus has said, to be reconciled to me, this is how you're supposed to do it. Now, can Jesus work beyond the sacraments, beyond the sacrament reconciliation and confession? Of course he can. But this is the normative way that he's established. And there was no question about it. Our friends are in the Eastern Orthodox. They have the sacrament of confession. They have all seven sacraments like we do, going back to the early church times.
We're talking about confession today. Tom Nash is our guest. 888-318-7884 is the number. Tom, when I come back, there are folks on the line. I want to get to the calls, but I'm going to tease now the question I'm going to come back to you with. But okay. What about people who have had a bad experience with a priest or with the sacrament of confession? We'll just tackle that one, because I do think that is an obstacle for many people.
No doubt.
We'll tackle that when we come back, and then we'll get to the calls. If you're Catholic, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. If you're not Catholic, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the church, on the web at magnificat.com.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. It's always so nice to be back here on a Monday. Thanks very much for being here with us. Just slog through the weekend waiting to get back here and have all this fun. And it is fun. Thanks for you by listening. You make it possible, so thanks very much. Tom Nash is our guest, a member of the Catholic Answers staff here, staff apologist here at Catholic Answers, and he gave us a very fine convocation the other morning. To get us started, I wish somebody would have recorded it, but apparently we don't record those. So we just asked them, why don't you talk about some of the stuff you talked about? It was about confession. So, Tom, let me get this question in, and then I'm going to let other people go. Because this is, I know sure. This is slightly off the beaten path. We're asking, what is the point of confession today? But I do think there are many people who might have reason not to go to confession, that I don't know, but people have had all kinds of experiences with the Catholic Church and with priests. So what do you say if someone says, I don't know, I'm not keen on that?
Yeah, first off, I like how priests will say, I'm a lion in the pulpit, I am a lamb in the confessional. In other words, someone's coming in to reconcile, you should be very, all the more sensitive, considerate, empathetic to that person, and bring them along. Sometimes, unfortunately, if somebody, it's all the more important, because sometimes people, if their faith is not strong, it's like, this priest represents God to me and represents the Catholic Church, and he failed me, and I'm not coming back. And so that's all the more reason that priests need to be available. Now, we got to be empathetic to priests insofar as, hey, especially if you're putting in long hours, you can get maybe a little irritable. But this is where I think it's a great sacrament for priests to grow in holiness is through confession. So if someone had a bad experience, I would say, all right, that's not good. If it was particularly bad, you might want to write a note to the bishop. I mean, then the priest could say, hey, I can't talk about it, of course, because it's the seal of confession. But the bishop could still say, hey, I heard this, and please be mindful of how you act. I know of a case, one situation where somebody close to me, they were recalling their childhood. They were older than I. And they said, the priest went in there and it was his first confession. And he said, he didn't have anything to confess. And the priest said, what do you mean you don't have anything? You didn't do anything wrong. So this, you know, you got a kid at 7 years old. And I told the person, I said, well, you know, come on now. You know that when you go into confession, you're supposed to have at least something to tell the priest, you know, some way, somehow. And it's important that we don't want anyone to get between us and Jesus. Now, the priests are great gifts, the hierarchy, they minister the sacraments to us as God has ordained, as we talked about in the first segment of our show today. At the same time, though, you don't want to judge the church by any one particular bad experience with a particular priest.
Yeah.
You want to realize that the sacrament is there, and you know, if you want to get a referral from other people you know who are ardent in the faith, then that's a good way to go. Some places too, like religious orders, for example, not too far from me in Detroit, the Solanus Casey Center, named after Blessed Solanus Casey, the Franciscan Capuchin, they hear confession 5 days a week from like 9 to 4:30. So
that's one thing I think you can do too, that many people don't like. Ask people, say, look, if you said to some Catholics, I've had a bad experience in confession, I want to go to confession, but I don't want to go through that again. Who's a good confessor? Catholics know.
Yeah.
Catholics will tell you. They'll go.
Oh, yeah. And you know, it's important. This is where someone, you got to love truth, but you got to love the person because you're talking to who may have had difficulty with the truth or violated the truth, because your job is to win that soul. Your job is to keep that soul in the fold. And if you don't, then, you know, standing back and say, well, I didn't compromise the truth. You failed. The devil wins. We got to always remember the devil is our, and his minions are our main enemies, not the flesh and blood people, whether they're in the church or outside of the church, who are opposing the church for one reason or another.
All right, off to the phones we go. We're talking confession with Tom Nash today, 888-318-7884. William is in Murfreesboro, Illinois. William, welcome. Go ahead with your question.
Hi there.
Hi.
So just going to ask a question about going to confession. Like I said, I live in southern Illinois, but I happened to travel up to Milwaukee this last weekend, and I felt very free to go to confession because the priest I was confessing to doesn't know me.
Yeah.
And is it okay?
Okay.
If you want to go to confession, to go to another priest, if you know you don't want the father that you see every week to know your sin. You
this
know,
is but, one of know, the Jesus great Catholic it. Questions, William. This is what it's, can it's, I yeah. go hunting for a priest?
The church does not restrict. It's, I suppose, too, it's good for if you have a regular confessor so he can be aware of things in your life, you know, not to withhold things from a spiritual director. But if he's not your spiritual director as well as confessor, although once he's your regular confessor, he kind of serves as a variation on sort of a spiritual director. No, you're free to go, William, to any priest you would like to. And if there's something that you wanted to confess, and when you're out of town, that's fine. The key is, as we always say, is making that firm purpose of amendment to avoid it, to avoid that particular sin if there's one we didn't want to share locally. And so to go forward and ask the grace and to, as they say, make that firm purpose of amendment and ask the grace to go forward and be that good, faithful witness. So you're fine in doing that.
Does that work for you, William?
I wasn't expecting that my parish priest would yell out, "You did what?" You know. But,
well,
yeah,
you
they're
know
not supposed
funny?
To do that.
He's a good.
It's you're right, no, but
he's,
I mean,
good.
Sad
I
thing.
Was just driving.
Wait, I think we. I'm not sure. I think we lost William. What were you going to say, Tom?
I was going to say William was saying, you know, you did what? Somebody would shout out. I remember there was a sad situation when I was at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and there was a parish downtown, and this one young man went in there and the priest said, "What? You did all that and still received Holy Communion?"
No.
And I don't know if people could hear outside, but it's.
That's not supposed to happen.
No, I mean, it's one thing it's if you would say, "Hey, whoa, that's a problem." And you got to reassure somebody. And, but yeah, take the sin seriously, but embrace the sinner. Bringing back the sheep into the fold. Say, hey, don't do that. If you do that again, don't do that, because that's seriousness. But I'm glad you're here for confession, because we can forgive those mortal sins.
But again, to stress, William, it is perfectly fine to go. You can go wherever you'd like to confession. There's a liberty
Absolutely.
That you have as a Catholic to do that. And If you're at liberty, then it's all right if you exercise that liberty. Thanks, William. We're talking confession. Tom Nash is our guest. Johnny's in Rhode Island watching on Twitch. Hey, Johnny, you got a question for Tom?
Hey, Cy Kellett, how do you do?
Very well, thank you.
All right, so here's the question. And I'm shifting away to fit into the conversation about confession. Because I was having a conversation with my brother, and my argument for Catholicism was, if Calvinism is true, then Christopher Hitchens is right about everything about religion. That is my argument. So my question is, how would you explain confession to a Calvinist?
Yeah, I would say, I would say to them, and I'd starting with John Calvin, he's not alive to tell, but what did Jesus do? And it wasn't a one-time reality. Now, at least with the Baptists, you got a shot because you can accept they believe in eternal security. With Calvinism, they believe that from all eternity, God has chosen who's going to heaven and who's going to hell, which puts God on the hook for all those people in hell because, and the Calvinists would come back and say, well, you cannot judge God. It's like, wait a second, I expect God to have a higher standard than the common virtuous person. Like I wrote in an article about salvation on our website, that a mother would desire, greatly desire, her child to get to heaven. Even the worst wayward son, a mother would do that. And we expect God wouldn't, you know, when Jesus says he wants everyone to go to heaven, and it's affirmed in 1 Timothy 2:4 and 2 Peter 3:9 that this is that God does love. Now the Calvinists are right that God knows everything. Everything. There are no surprises for God. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. However, that doesn't mean things. It's erroneous to make the conclusion that things are predetermined, that we don't have a real free will. We do have a real free will because if he's really omnipotent, then he could both know everything because it's present to him. He's not limited by time, but he still gives us a free will to act in time. And if there is no free will, then this whole thing on the Sermon on the Mount makes no sense at all. And Calvinism, of course, 1,500 years after the fact, comes up with this new thing about double predestination, which he himself acknowledged was a dreadful doctrine. I'd say go back to look what Jesus Christ says. Jesus told us all to forgive the sins of those who trespass against us. But for sins in general, he only gave it to a select few and to their successors thereafter. And so we are following what Jesus Christ said. He said, hey, if you retain men's sins, they are retained. If you forgive them, they are forgiven. Jesus Christ set the sacrament up. It's been not an issue in East and West. It wasn't a point of schism in different times, 1054 or later with some other situation between East and West. It has always been there. So I would say to the Calvinists, there is free will. Jesus Christ does love everybody. He gives everybody the opportunity for repentance. And because he does, there is this sacrament. Whereas, the Calvinists, the old thing will be where, well, gee, I thought so-and-so was saved. Yeah, well, he fell away. And, well, then how do you know who's saved and who's not if someone can fall away, which just points out that there is such a thing as free will. People, Calvinists in the business world, count on accountability and free will and responsibility every day of their lives. But it's like somehow it goes out the window when it comes to our eternal salvation, which means that they have a higher standard than God, which is silly.
John, did that help you?
Yes, because I just wanted to say my brother that I was talking with was an atheist, but the logical conclusion is that God loves human race, and he knows we fall, yep. And he gave us a method yep. that we can see healing. And if I'm not a Catholic, I guess I have to be an anti-theist, but thankfully, I don't have to, so thank you very much.
It's fascinating to me that I'm sorry, Tom, but it's fascinating to me that you mentioned Christopher Hitchens, who, of course, famous atheist, God is not great. And it's fascinating that if Calvin's depiction of God really is what God is like, then I had not thought of it before. Hitchens' critiques of God are correct. He's monstrous. Is that what you were saying your brother said, Johnny?
No, that's what I was saying. And the funny thing about my brother, he claims to be an atheist, and he didn't know who Hitchens was. But I've listened to his debate with John Lennox dozens of times. I can almost quote it verbatim. And I was just thinking, you know, if Calvinism is true, then I should be an anti-theist.
Yeah. Calvinism is not true.
I saw Lennox against Hitchens. No, not Hitchens, but who's our friend from Britain, England? Our
Hitchens
other
is
guy.
British. Dawkins?
Yeah, the other gentleman, Dawkins. Dawkins and Lennox had a debate, and I saw it in Alabama, University of Alabama, Birmingham, 2009, 2010. But the point about the problem with Calvinism, as a Methodist once said, your God is my devil, my Satan. Because what do you expect from somebody who sends people to hell? He's on the hook for their going to hell. And you say, well, he's omnipotent and he is above everybody, you know, and
still,
then it doesn't make sense that someone would argue that point, because it makes God into an evil being.
Thanks, Johnny. We'll be back with more conversation about confession. Each Catholic is obliged to spread and defend the faith by word and deed. Well, we're here to help. Join special guests Chris Stefanik, Dr. David Anders, Steve Dawson, and all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists this September 25th through 28th in beautiful San Diego for the Catholic Answers Conference. Our theme? Go make disciples. Enjoy 4 days of faith, fun, and fellowship. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 when you register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests. He does on-air debates. And he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron. Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Amy Hamilton is our guest next hour. If you don't know Amy Hamilton, we're kind of fans of hers here. We did a long interview with her one time that got a good deal of interest. She speaks very, very clearly, precisely, almost with a scientific precision about the sexual revolution and its consequences for humanity, and the role of the Catholic Church in healing and helping. You'll be astonished by Amy Hamilton, I think, and I hope you will join us. And whether you agree or disagree, give us a call next hour. This hour, Tom Nash is our guest, and we're talking confession. Tom gave us a great talk here at Catholic Answers about confession. Wanted to share some of that. If you'd like to talk about confession, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Going to Northeast Ohio now, where James is watching on YouTube. James, thank you for your patience. Thanks for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Tom Nash.
Yes, I'm so thankful to be on here. It's an answered prayer. You guys have no idea what I've been going through.
Oh,
God bless
well, what
you,
have you been going through? We're glad you're here.
Well, it's a complicated issue, but okay. I am a 20-year-old youth minister right now. And I'm a youth minister at a Protestant church of a Church of Christ. If you guys have heard of that denomination, you probably have.
But, sure. The more conservative one as opposed to the mainline, right?
So, yeah, we're not the no music type, but we're pretty conservative, I'd say. But, yeah, we're like half Church of Christ. We have a half of their beliefs. It's kind of like a Baptist church. Anyways.
Okay.
Do you know, do you know Tim Staples? Have you heard of Tim?
I have, yes. My mom loves him.
He was a youth pastor in the Church of Christ.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Assembly of Gods.
Oh, Assemblies of Gods. Did I get that wrong? I apologize.
Assembly of Gods.
Assembly of
Gods.
I apologize.
That is all right.
I made the wrong connection. All right, I'll go back into my hole. Go ahead with your question.
It is totally okay. Well, a little context. I mean, I grew up Catholic. I grew up in a very Italian Catholic household. And when I was about 16, I left the Catholic Church because I started to follow the evangelical movement.
Okay.
I went from there, you know, I went full sola scriptura, I went all Reformation, and I almost became Reformed. There was a bunch of stuff that I went through these last couple of years, but I really started to dive into church history this last year, and it's rocked my world and my theology. And I really don't know what to do from here because I'm really on the verge of converting back to Catholicism because I'm convinced of the Eucharist, and I'm convinced of the authority of the Catholic Church, and,
James,
you know, it's like the Lord's opened my eyes. Yes?
I know what to do. You said you don't know what to do.
What is it?
I
don't know what to
it's,
do.
It's time to come home, brother. You know where you need to be.
I know.
Yeah, so it's easy to say it, but clearly there are other things there. So what are the issues, James?
So, you know, we literally just moved to a house in Northeast Ohio that was a minute down the road from our new church. I got hired 5 months ago.
Okay.
And at the time, you know, I when I got hired, the thoughts of Catholicism were in the back of my mind. I kind of got over that rabbit hole. After all, I was like, all right, I'm done doing my research and that. Like, I there's just no conclusion. So I was just stuck. I'm like, all right, I'm going to stick with being Protestant. And so I was, you know, I got ordained in this church. You know, I'm the youth minister now. And 3 months ago, you know, I went right back into the rabbit hole. And I started searching again and searching. But I can't defend the Protestant claims anymore. And, you know, I've been in my office all day researching. And, you know, and then I went to Mass this past weekend, and I fell in love again. And I'm
praise
like,
God, James.
This is what I desire. This is what I desire. But my problem is the kids love me. I've built such a good relationship with these kids and trust with these kids in 5 months.
Yes.
And the congregation loves me. And we'd moved just so I could work at the church. Like, I was commuting 40 minutes every day, and then we moved a minute away from the church. And I'm just wrecked right now because I'm trying to wonder, would God call me out of that if I thought he called me into it? You know, and it's just wrecking me.
I think we need to maybe take a look at the larger picture, James, that this could be not only for your benefit, for the young people whom you've made a positive impression. And if you can sit down and talk with them, as long as their parents, you know, don't get mad about you having an interaction with their, depending on if they're under 18, there might be some things to talk about there as far as parental consent, because they would think you view you as a heretic, unfortunately. But I think then, look, it's like Romans 8:28. All things work to the good of those who are called according to God's purpose, you know, that not only for you, but for these other people, that you can be a positive, and even if there may be short-term hard feelings, if they know that you've been convicted and they know your background, and yet I imagine you've received all your sacrament of initiation, confirmation, all that. Is that correct?
17, yeah, I got the last sacrament of, confirmation isn't the last sacrament, but yeah.
Yeah, but you're fully initiated.
Initiation. Well, then I would say I would encourage you to go to confession as soon as you can, but start going to Mass this Sunday. But then, you know, you just have to be real with the people and say, hey, kid, just tell the, you know, I want to meet with you guys. I would like to keep friendship with you. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, even though I'm going to become Catholic. I don't think they're going to let me continue in this position because they don't believe Catholicism, unfortunately, certain doctrines like sola scriptura and the sacraments and some other things. But I think if you're real and direct with your pastor, then you're doing what you have to do. And the young people, too, trust God, who loves them more than you love them, that he will work through all the good relationship that you've started. It's like, well, what was it about that James, whom we really have a lot of respect for, that he went back to Catholicism? Then they can, you know, text you, email you, whatever, meet with you for coffee, hopefully a good number of them. And so let God unfold it. Just be, I think, candid with your bosses, and then trust God will lead you to youth ministry in a new position in the church. Maybe that means getting a degree if you don't have your degree yet in theology. But I think if you go forward and you're candid to them and you're upfront with your bosses and then say, I'd like to be able to speak to the youth. If they say, no, you can't speak to the youth, well, then you can reach out to them. Otherwise, I don't think there's anything wrong. Say, if you have any questions about why I made this choice, please let me know. Hopefully they'll give you a chance to at least talk to the kids. And if not, then hopefully the kids can reach out to you.
What do you think, James?
Sound?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that last question?
How does that sound is all?
Cut out a little bit. That sounds like the plan I was kind of going to approach with. I guess my concern would be the confusion of, did God call me to this church to serve this church and to preach the gospel? That's what my wife and I were convinced that was the answer. And it's kind of wrecking us right now. It's like,
Is your wife Catholic?
She grew up more Baptist than anyone I know.
Okay.
But she went to
Mass. So how's it going at home? That's another issue, huh?
Honestly, that's actually going pretty well. She is open to it. And when she went to Mass with me, we actually went on the Assumption Day. So this past Friday. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, I told him, like, yeah, this is probably the most Catholic thing you're going to see.
James? Yeah, you've stepped out, and could God, God's ways are not our ways. And yeah, he could have called you precisely so that you might have been able to, the people loved you. And hey, if that's what it took, and then he draws you back, that he, God sees everything. He's nothing as a surprise. That could have been part of his plan for you to go there and to witness to these kids and hopefully plant seeds. That's what I was saying earlier, and I would reaffirm that. It could be a both and. It doesn't mean that you got it wrong. At this point in your life, you were discerning God's call, right? And that's where you felt God calling. I think the bottom line is God can work through it, and as opposed to saying, hey, I got it all wrong. I wouldn't look at it that way, because God is obviously used you in a positive way. And God, is bringing you home. And yet he's also enabled you to plant seeds with these other people. So I wouldn't get all caught up with the fact, because then we can get all, am I not hearing God's voice? How do I know I'm hearing God's voice now? You know the truth. You know the peace in your heart because of how you've been looking and seeing, and how Protestantism is a latter day, beginning of the 1500s reality. You know that the Catholic Church is true. So take those steps, and hopefully your actions will be not only helpful for those people at that church, including the young people, to become Catholic one day or get a greater appreciation of Catholicism, but it's contributing later a larger your particular contribution to the larger reconciliation of all Christians, which is what our Lord Jesus Christ, hey, that's what he prayed for. John 17, verses 20 to 23, that they may be one as you and I are one. This is what Jesus is praying with the Father. And you can't get any more one than the union between the Father and the Son and the Trinity. So this is part of that unfolding plan of God in your life. And I would just take that as a gift, and God can work through it. And God is working in a new way. And sometimes people take new jobs and then it doesn't work out, but hey, it's opened the door to someplace else. So I wouldn't second guess yourself too much, but that God has worked through you throughout this process.
James, I think you said you're 20 years old. You sound like an extraordinary person. Did you say you're 20, James?
Yes, you got it.
Yeah, well, God bless you. I'll tell you what.
Journey Home, our Coming Home Network, the Coming Home Network would be a great place for
James.
Have you
heard of the Coming Home Network, James?
I have. You know, I mean, I've been so invested into, you know, hearing both sides of the debate. So Catholic Answers and listening to Trent Horn. I think Trent Horn talked about it one time. There's a lot of Catholic apologists that I've listened to, and it's just like, yeah, I have heard of the coming home to Rome quote.
Well, the Coming Home Network, they work with lots of Protestant ministers. So they have an experience of where they might be able to help you or mentor you in how to, because there's a time of suffering ahead where relationships that were precious are they're going to be challenged now. And so, you know, people who have gone through that can help you with that. And I do think at the Coming Home Network, because they have experience with lots of Protestant pastors and ministers who have come into the Catholic Church, you might draw on their experience is all we're saying. I'd like to send you any books that we've got. Is there any book that Catholic Answers publishes that we could send to you?
Oh, man. Oh, geez. That would be incredible. Do you guys have anything on the Eucharist? I'm sure you guys do, but...
Oh, the Eucharist. I know I've heard of that, James. Yes, of course we do. We'll send you a copy of the book, The Eucharist is Really Jesus.
How about Pope Peter, too?
Hey, you know, who's paying for these books?
I could use anything.
Sorry, okay. I'll make a donation.
We're going to... No, actually, I'll be honest with you, James. We have a wonderful donor who for the last several years has been giving us money to give away books just to people like you,
God.
James. So I tease Tom about the money, but a donor is taking care of it. And so we'll send you... We'll send you...
Keep walking, brother. You're going in the right direction.
Yeah, you are. And you sound so joyful. It sounds like you know you're going in the right direction, actually.
And there's a piece. You guys are you guys are an answered prayer. I mean, I didn't think I'd even be able to get on the line. I'm like, I thought you guys were so popular. I'm like, there's no way they're going to answer my call. And, you know,
I have a question for James.
For so long. Yes.
Well, James, we're delighted you got through.
You're 20 years old and you're married. That's impressive.
I am, yes. Yes,
I mean, that's like going back to my mom and dad when they were younger. I mean, they got married older at 25, and it's like, God bless you, brother.
Good for you. And you know what?
God is going to use you mightily, brother.
I'm delighted that
you
got through, James. And could somebody give James Tom's email and my email? So if he wants to email us for a follow-up, I don't like to give my email out on the air. You know this ckellett@catholic.com. I don't like to give that out over the air. So if you could just give him and then Tom Nash's. We got to take a quick break, James. Hang on the line. We're going to send you The Eucharist is Really Jesus and Pope Peter. Right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I just want to share that 5 years ago, my lovely warrior princess and saint of a wife and I decided to adopt a little girl through foster care. She is the perfect roundout of our family of three boys and her. Yes, there are challenges. Very grateful today for all the blessings that he has shown our family.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend? Coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live, singing classic Disney songs to Tom Nash, and he failed to identify the singer of the song I was singing. We can't sing it on the air, Tom, but It's not Baloo the bear. It's King Louie that sings.
He was the bear necessity.
All right, but I'm the king of the swingers. Yeah.
Was he an orangutan or a chimpanzee? He was an orangutan, wasn't he?
King Louie?
Yeah.
No, man.
He wasn't a gorilla.
Now you stumped me. I was trying to look all smart and everything. And now
I think he's an orangutan.
I think you are correct.
Orangutan.
Yeah. That's back when, man. Disney had good music then. Aristocats. Remember Aristocats? How good the music is in Aristocats?
Yeah.
That was good old days.
That King Louie song was kind of like a rhythm and blues type of upbeat.
Yeah. It was, and the guy who sang it, of course, was Louis Prima, who was a great, I mean, he was just a great, almost like a cabaret performer and trumpeter and band leader and all that. All right, I'm going to sing it to myself. I'm going to press the mute button here and sing it to myself while you talk to Benedict in Houston, Texas, who's listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. We're talking about confession. Our guest is Tom Nash. And Benedict, you are very welcome here. You ready with the question?
All right. I have a question about Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters. It's just a general knowledge question about what's permissible and what's not. Let's say me as a Roman Catholic, I go to an Eastern Orthodox church. I know best practice is to go to Roman Catholic church to receive confession, but let's say that's not available. I know we're allowed to receive the Eucharist in the Eastern Orthodox church, but are we allowed to receive confession in the Eastern Orthodox church if the priest allows us to do so, and vice versa? Let's say an Eastern Orthodox person goes to a Catholic church, can they receive confession?
Yeah, they could, and Canon 844 discusses this, but for us to go to them, we'd really have to be in a place where, geographically place, where we would not have a priest available to us. It's not like, well, this isn't convenient, I want to go today, and this Eastern Orthodox. Typically, the Eastern Orthodox do not want non-Orthodox to receive their Eucharist or to come to confession. But we can go to those in real need. And I don't think typically in the United States you're going to have that need, because there are so many parishes and relatively fewer Eastern Orthodox churches. I suppose if you go to some place like Serbia or something like that, and some place in Eastern Europe, maybe, that there may be possibly fewer Catholic churches and an Eastern Orthodox might be available, then that might be. But I think in a practical sense, no, because the church is only in real need. We recognize the validity of their priesthood. We recognize the validity of their Eucharist and sacrament of confession. But the church is trying to foster the unity, as I said in the previous segment, John 17, 20 to 23, you know, that they may be one as we are one, that they may all be one. And so he wants us to have that unity. And so we give witness to that unity by going to receive the sacraments to a Catholic priest, which could include an Eastern Catholic priest confession. But Eastern Orthodox, I don't think, practically speaking, there's going to be a real need for that to take place here in the United States, for example, because there are many, many priests that we can go to. And that's what the church calls us to give witness to, that full unity, including to our Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters, that they might one day, please, Lord, come into full communion with the church.
I'm just speaking purely hypothetically. If, let's say, that's all that there is, if there's a, you know, and you want to receive communion, let's say you're in Greece and there's none of those other churches that you mentioned.
Well,
is it permissible?
Yeah, I hear you. That's why I noted again. If it is permissible in the hypothetical that you would be only in a particular land where there was no Catholic priest available, but there was an Orthodox priest, maybe he had grave sin to confess, then. So I'm thinking, hypothetically, yes, that's why I say in Canon 844, you can look at it, canon law, you can see it online at the Vatican website, some other websites, you can. But you're talking about in your situation, in your concrete case, I would say no, based upon the church's norms, for the reasons I stated.
Okay. Okay, and I have a question for Cy. I've been a Catholic for about a year, and I was wondering, is there a book that you can send about the rosary? Because I'd like to delve deeper into that.
Are you trying to get Tom whipped up? Do you know that Tom wrote a book about the rosary, and you're just doing this to try to whip him up? Is that what's going on here?
No, I didn't. But, you know, if you're giving away books and, you know, you have one about the rosary, hey, send it my way.
20 Answers the Rosary is on its way to you. All you have to do is give us an address, a physical address where we can put it in the mail and send it off to you.
Here you go, Bendix.
And then I'll tell you what, I'll also send you a copy of Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical case for the Marian doctrines. That way you'll get the full Mary treatment. All right, Benedict?
Behold Your Mother. That's a great book.
Oh, you have Behold Your Mother. All right. How about 20 Answers Mary then? We'll throw that in.
That sounds great.
Okay, good. It was hard to sell books to you, man. But all right, well, they're on their way. All you got to do is, I'm going to put you on hold now. Stay on the line. John will get your information, and we will send those books off to you. I think he knew you wrote the rosary. He had to. He said, sigh, and then... And then Tom, you should see Tom's eyes light up when anybody talks about his book. All right, let's go to Hanover, Pennsylvania. Brian, watching on YouTube. Thank you for the call. Brian, go ahead with the question.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's I crossed the Tiber May 4th of this year. And,
God bless
praise God.
Diving into, yeah, and I've been diving into many, many books, and confession in itself, there's a lot to that. And I have some questions. One in particular I wanted to address today was the idea of frequency. I know looking into it, one thing, JP2 went once a week, and devoted Catholics and Catholic apologists, I know they say to go every 2 weeks and at least monthly. And St. Faustina talking about that it was not only a forgiving sacrament, but also educational and healing. But it's
sure.
Also not a therapy session either. So I wonder what are these devoted Catholics and John Paul II and going every week, let alone every 2 weeks, every month at least. What do they say? If that makes sense?
Yeah, and again, the Pope is in a special situation as the visible leader of the Church. For him to go every week is one thing. Going to your other point about not making it a therapy session, if we want to have frequent confession, we don't want to have people going to confession too frequently. Now, we should go to confession as frequently as we need. And I would say, as a general rule of thumb, monthly is good. And if you need to go before then sure. But I would say to somebody, the John Paul II as the Pope is an exception. One need not go to confession every week. To just get people to go back once a month would be a great thing. But so that other people can go, given the number of priests in the world, we don't want to overload the priests. And this is the thing when I talk about in our convocation of encouraging more frequent hours of confession. Part of that is going to let people to be able to go to and see Father, not have long lines. And of course, fathers, priests can deal with people who deal with scrupulosity, but anyone who says you have to go once a week, nobody would say that, or they wouldn't be correct. The Pope is an exceptional situation again. Every other week is a possibility, but I think you'd do very well to do it once every month. And then if needed, depending on what's going on in your life, you can go more frequently than that. But that's a very good rule of thumb. A general spiritual direction will tell you once a month is good.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of these things where going in there, reading about St. Faustina talking about that it's not just forgiving, but it's also it's an educational and healing. And in that
sure.
healing process, being able to you know, when you go in there monthly, and if you have, let's say, no mortal sins, but you can express your venial sins, but then,
absolutely.
Then you're looking at what constitutes, what goes over, you know, so it. Into venial sins, or if you keep repeating the same sins,
well,
then it's supposed to be healing. So you would.
Well, you just keep at it, and you'll grow in grace, even if you don't maybe struggle with that long term, God will be with you, and trust in Him, and He's with you.
I cannot believe the hour is already over. Thank you, Brian, for the call. Thanks to everybody who called. Sorry for those that we didn't get to. Tom Nash has been our guest. He is the Bagheera of apologists here at Catholic Answers. You know who Bagheera is? Did you forget?
Was he the panther?
He's the Black Panther, yeah.
That wasn't a Black Panther. It was a good guy.
I don't even know what that means. Oh, we're going to be right back.
Well, the other Black Panther, the superhero, was great.
Oh, yeah.
But that Black Panther was a mean guy.
Amy Hamilton next on Catholic Answers Live.